WTEL podcasts are powered by Stanley Steamer Air Duct Cleaning, Delaware's clean air experts. Call 1-800-STEAMER.
Well, this week, certainly a bit of a debate about standard operating procedure at the Trump White House, raising the issue of confidentiality agreements and the like. Are they worth the paper they're written on? The idea of using something used in the private sector in the White House. Alan Garfield, professor of law, Delaware Law School, Widener University. And, of course, this all comes up in connection with Omarosa, but I'm not even clear what she signed exactly. There was some reporting suggesting it was not the same as for other staffers of the White House. But what do you make of it all, Professor Garfield?
Well, I think the main takeaway for this, and I've been concerned about these contracts of silence for decades, is I think we've really reached a tipping point in our society. I mean, how many times are we going to hear stories of companies like General Motors hiding up product defects with secret settlements, of Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly, and Bill Cosby doing it, of the church using secret settlements to keep priest abuse?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this week that comes out again. I mean, think about it. If it had just come out, and we wouldn't be going through this protracted tragedy today, in theory.
Absolutely, and Trump is the king of these non-disclosure agreements. His agreements typically say you can't say anything disparaging about him, presumably true or false, for the rest of your life, and you can't disclose anything confidential, which the contracts say is anything Mr. Trump says he wants confidential. I mean, he's the president of the United States. You know, Supreme Court decisions have said over and over again how there has to be a robust, uninhibited debate about public officials, and people can't be chilled.
Well, what about being cynical here, though? From your point of view, you could say Trump is packing the courts with like-minded jurists, and they're going to uphold this new notion.
Well, you know what? Even on this issue, I'm not sure I would agree, because even the conservative judges have been very strong on First Amendment issues. And I think that they would appreciate that, you know, just because something's a contract doesn't mean it's enforceable. Hitmen make contracts, and so do drug dealers. If a contract violates public policy, and what more important public policy could there be in the United States to allow people to reveal that the commander-in-chief is unhinged and is a racist and a misogynist? And mind you, you know, Omarosa is going out and speaking. I think we saw after Harvey Weinstein, I think that's when the dam broke, that Harvey Weinstein can't go and sue these people regardless of any contract. It would just continue the abuse. The church can't sue these people. And I think if, Trump could try doing what he wants, but it's just going to appear to be exactly what it is, which is the president trying to suppress people from criticizing him. And unfortunately, we're not in North Korea, and we're not in Russia.
Speaking of other countries, not necessarily those two, do you have any idea? I mean, is this a mostly U.S. phenomenon, or have other Western countries grappled with this issue? Do you any idea?
I don't have a strong sense of, you know, how this has played out in other countries, but, you know, certainly people in power have used means to suppress embarrassing information about them forever. I mean, Trump really wants to be like the kings of England in the 17th century who used seditious libel to punish anybody who criticized them. And back in those days, the line was the greater the truth, the greater the libel. It didn't even matter if it was truthful.
Well, you mentioned sedition. I'm now thinking back to the Adams administration. I mean, right, there have been some past attempts by presidents to suppress stuff they didn't like.
You're absolutely right. And in the famous 1964 decision, New York Times versus Sullivan, the Supreme Court said, even though the Sedition Act never got to the Supreme Court, history has made it clear that it was absolutely unconstitutional and un-American and goes against, you know, all of the values this country is founded upon.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, that's the famous 64 New York Times rule on libel.
Right.
Anyone who goes into journalism at one point or another learns about it, and public figures and what can be said about them, and how only if you knowingly and went out of your way to demean someone could you possibly go up.
Exactly. And the problem in the New York Times versus Sullivan was that they were using a civil lawsuit, a defamation action, to shut down criticism of a public official. And that's exactly what Trump is trying to do. He's trying to end, if Trump could sue Omarosa for defamation if he wants to say what she's saying is false, but he'd have to show that she was not, it was, number one, he'd have to prove it was false. And he'd have to show she knowingly or recklessly said that. He thinks he could just end run all of those First Amendment protections by having her sign some form contract where she promises not to disparage him for the rest of his life. If we allow that to happen, then every country and every powerful person is going to have anybody who works for them sign contracts saying, I promise not to disparage my company or whoever I work with for the rest of my life. And what's that going to do to public discourse?
Yeah, well, you know, for example, confidentiality, company secrets for some time period. I can see that. But for life is a very beyond the pale, I think.
Well, absolutely. And there's a difference. I'm not saying non-disclosure agreements are inappropriate for legitimate trade secret information, inside information about publicly held companies. There's lots of examples where they're perfectly legitimate. But when you get into contracts that are trying to cover up, you know, criminal, tortious behavior or simply information relevant to the sanity of the commander-in-chief or his character or fitness for office, then you start having real problems. That's not what contract law should be used for, and the courts should make it clear. And I think the public has seen so many abuses come forward about, you know, so many abuses that continue to exist because they were kept secret by these agreements that I think finally the public is saying enough is enough. Just as you said, these contracts should not be worth the paper they're written on.
All right, Professor. Have a good weekend, sir. Appreciate
it. You too. Enjoy your weekend.
Alan Garfield, Professor of Law, Delaware Law School.